Message today comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, two verses. If you have your Bible, of course, turn to that. This is the reading of God's Word. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Several years ago, it happened when I was living in San Jose, California, better known as Silicon Valley. It was a Thursday morning on my way to the early morning prayer. That morning, I came close to entering to heaven, just in a matter of seconds. There were three lanes on the freeway I was driving that morning. On the far right lane, a large truck was going. In the middle lane, a sedan took its place. And in the far left lane, a small minivan was driving, which was right in front of me. A large gasoline truck was entering the freeway. It started to make its way to the right lane where the large truck was. So the large truck began to change lane to the middle, where the sedan was. So the sedan, not wanting to get crushed by the truck, began to also swerve left and enter into the left lane where the minivan was. Now the minivan did not have any lane to move because there was a center wall to its left. As I said, I'm the car that was right behind this van, so I am seeing everything literally happening right in front of me. Since the van did not give the sedan space to move left, the sedan had no choice but to move back to his original middle lane. Can you imagine if you were the driver of the sedan, a large truck to your right coming to your lane, and a van to your left not willing to give you any space to move? I was thinking, I might really be going home this morning. And embracing for the worst, I gripped the steering wheel real tight with my two hands, trying to get myself ready for the accident that was going to explode right in front of me. Remember, all of this changing of lanes began because of a large gasoline truck. Thankfully, the large truck saw the sedan coming back to the lane, thus he too managed to maneuver back to his original lane. Thankfully, the large gasoline truck driver must have discerned the situation, so he slowed down and entered the freeway behind the large truck. So the drama of, by God's grace, quickly dissipated. Instead of going to heaven that morning, I instead went to church. I guess God wasn't calling me to come home, not just yet. Do you know, either Thursday morning or any days of the week, we would all enter our eternal home one day. And as you saw it, it really takes less than a minute to leave this world. The world where we live has a terrible fear for death. The many health and beauty products and the explosion of exercise equipment are means to fight off the ultimate battle against death and decaying. The desire for many people is to live long, healthy lives. It is probably safe to say that many Christians also desire to live long, healthy lives. What's wrong with long, healthy lives, you might be asking? There's nothing wrong with long, healthy lives if this life is our permanent lives. But if this world is not our true home, if this life is not our permanent lives, then something is off, don't you think? When you have an amazing palace for a home in the city, and you keep insisting on living on a small tent under the bridge with holes that allows the rain to wet you, and be frequently attacked by rodents and have uninvited bugs crawling inside, There's something off with that person, isn't it? The people who heard you say you have an amazing palace for your home in the city will either think you are insane for living like this, or you are delusional to think you have a home, because your lifestyle clearly displays you are a miserable, poor, homeless person. So, this long, healthy life in this world is very relevant if our home and our lives belong here. But if this world is not our home, and if our lives is not about this temporal stay, but to live eternally, then shouldn't our lives be about preparing for the kingdom to come? Paul clearly believed that he was looking forward to God's kingdom so much more than the world he was presently walking. He understood that most people in the world feared death because they did not receive the promise of God's everlasting kingdom. So Paul teaches God's people that while the world will naturally consider death terrible, he says for God's people to die is gain. Not a loss, but a gain. Why is it a gain, you ask? Because through the door of death, we would enter into God's glory for all eternity. Death is a gain, because then we will be laying down all of the burdens of sin in this world for good. No more sin, no more death ever. Death is a gain because the troubles, the sorrows, the pain, the misery, the misfortunes, the afflictions, the disappointments, and the difficulties of life will never ever bother us again, ever. Death is a gain because peace, love, joy, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and beauty will fill our hearts, will overflow through our lips, and in all of our relationships with everyone, every time, for all time. Death truly is a gain because we will truly be able to live daily, moment by moment, for all eternity with the true lover and shepherd of our souls. Death is a gain because our God will completely strip away all of our lowly, sinful selves, and instead, He will clothe us with His righteousness, with His holiness, with His beauty, with His goodness, and with His glory. Surely, death in this world will be difficult because we must say goodbye to the people we love in this world. But on the other side of the door, do you know who will be the people that will be saying to us, "Welcome home"? Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, Solomon, the prophets, the disciples, Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus, my earthly parents, some of the friends we had to say goodbye earlier, and most of all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of His angels will welcome us, embrace us, and love us. That is why Paul said, to die is gain, because he knew who was waiting for him in heaven and what would happen there. If we also knew what and who will be waiting for us in heaven, then to live long, healthy lives in this world could not be all that appealing as the desire to go home sooner rather than later will be in us, isn't it? May we also truly believe to die is gain, because we see it is our God who is calling us home, waiting for us to welcome us home. Now let's wait out here. If heaven is so much better for us, why are we still here? Let me present to you two reasons. First, life and death is not for us to decide. It is God's decision, His and His alone. In other words, our God wants us to be here for now. Sometimes our minds can wander, wishing to be somewhere else and not here, whether it be our present residence or to simply not wanting to be in this world. For many people, we carry many disappointments, and therefore we long for something different than what we have in the present. In life, many times, the grass does look greener on the other side of the fence, doesn't it? But for all the people who are looking over to the other side of the fence, may I remind us, God wants us here because He has placed us here. It is a difficult lesson, but it is true. For what our God desires for us to pursue is faithfulness over success. God wants us to be faithful in the present rather than to live our lives wishing for what is not presently ours. Of course, this does not mean that we should not pursue to better our situation. But before success, God desires for His people to be faithful in where we are and in what we have. One day when it is time for us to depart, then He will draw away our last breath. Then we know that's the time to come home. But as long as He gives us breath to breathe, then it is God's will that we remain here on earth and be found faithful. Now that takes me to my second reason here for why we should be still living in this world. You see, God wants us to be here on earth as He has given us an important calling to fulfill, a calling to fulfill. See, the life of Paul gives us a glimpse of that. Paul stayed because it was necessary for the Philippians that he stayed. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." To remain in the flesh, Paul says, is more needful for you. And why was Paul's stay necessary for the Philippian church? For one reason, actually. So he can lead them more unto Christ-likeness. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." See, Paul's desire for his life was that Christ would be magnified in his life. And likewise, his desire for God's people was that they too will magnify Christ in their lives as we grow more and more unto the likeness of our Redeemer, Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that's what Paul says. "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord," and then listen to that next phrase, "are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Transform into His image, growing into His likeness. You see, to magnify Christ is what a true Christian fellowship and life is all about. Christian fellowship is more than merely enjoying each other's company with holy endeavors. It is more than blessing and stirring each other to do good works. True Christian fellowship is ultimately about building the likeness of Christ in one another, as well as in our own lives as well. So the question for true Christian fellowship is, how are we building each other more into Christ likeness through whichever activity we may be doing? That must be our prayer. And that must be our endeavor whenever we are fellowshiping with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. How can I help others and myself to love and to grow more like our Lord Christ Jesus? As we can see, the important reason for our staying alive is that we will live to magnify Christ in who we are, in what we do, and in what we say. So while we are still living in this world, because our God has placed us here and not called us home yet, is how are we growing more like Christ each day? And how are we blessing our brothers and sisters to also grow more like Christ? And whenever we're dealing with non-believers, then the goal becomes, how do we help them to see the beauty of Christ in me, both through my words and my deeds? In short, the reason for our lives this year and each year must be to live is Christ. I feel embarrassed to compare myself with Paul, but as your pastor, I do have the same heart. And I want to say, if I am still living and am your pastor, then I want to benefit you by helping you to learn to walk with our God nearly and dearly every day in His Word. And what can be more important, more essential, more needed, more helpful in your life than to learn how to walk better every day with Christ? Not gifted in many areas, but there is one passion I have. If there is one thing I want to help God's people to do more than anything else in life, it is to help each of you to daily walk with our God nearly and dearly for you. If I may, I want to return to the first sermon of 2022. Whatever person in our church are encouraged to do those three things. First, walk daily with God as you eat His word. Second, pray in all things, in everything, every day. And third, let's gather, unite our hearts and our attitudes together to truly want to worship the beauty and the majesty of our living God each Lord's Day. Eating God's Word every day, praying daily, and worshiping His beauty each Lord's Day. That is, I believe, how we can begin to learn to walk. To live is Christ. So may the Word of God every day as you eat nourish your soul. Whenever you pray, may you experience the living presence and nearness of your God, even with our eyes shut. May He be more near than any person alive. And may our worship become the most anticipated, the highlight, and the most amazing time of our week to meet Him face to face every Sunday, every Lord's Day. Let me close by rereading our passage today, Philippians 1, 20, 21. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ alone will be magnified in my body, whether by life or even by death. For to me, says Paul, and I pray for all of us, for us to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray. Lord, we are moved by your servant Paul in his passion, devotion, loyalty, love for you. But we know, Lord, that love did not simply spring from himself, but it was you who poured it unto him that simply overflowed through his confession and life. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we pray that all of us will experience your abundant, amazing outpouring of your love for us, so much so that, Lord, every moment that we live, we have only one desire, to live as Christ. And when we know you are calling us home, May we not regret, Lord, leaving here. May we not regret the way we left, the way we have lived. Lord, may our hearts be filled with even more excitement and anticipation, because, Lord, we know to die is gain. So, Lord, though we do not fully comprehend all of Paul's truthful insight, Lord, we also want to confess with him, so that, Lord, we will learn to walk a little more like he, growing into your likeness, so that we would have only one confession: to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Thank you, Lord. Please bless all your dear people, Lord, all of your family, all my brothers and sisters, Lord, at home, worshiping together with their family. Will you, Lord, draw each one member of their family, Lord, mom and dad and the children, every single one, Lord. Bless them. Bless them with the knowledge of your goodness. Bless them with the power of your name. Save them. And Lord, may we together with one mind and heart say, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We thank you so much, and we pray all of these things in the only name, the name Jesus Christ, that saves a sinner like us. Amen.